I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, all you evil spirits. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered you. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. Prayer from Saint. That's in a minor exorcism prayer from Saint Anthony of Padua. And a happy feast day of the exaltation of the Holy Cross of Christ. My name is Jesse Romero. My partner, Terry Barber. I'm reporting for duty. Terry, what about
Jesse,
you?
I'm reporting for duty. I want to hear about your weekend. And I'm excited about the exaltation of the cross, because by the cross we have been redeemed. And Jesse, today's show, I really am excited about the topics you picked. Jess, you picked these, and I was very happy you did, because one of them is Dennis Prager about the Wuhan lockdown is no longer a mistake, he says, but a crime. Well, what does he mean by that? Is that what he's talking about, is collateral damage? You'll see. Number two, pro-life priest. You notice I said with plural, priest, denouncing Catholics for Biden as a scam. Wow. Number three, nationwide novena. We talked a little bit about this novena, 5,400 masses for President Trump. That's just some serious Catholics, man. Wow. And then, again, the 54-day rosary crusade for the United States. Are you kidding me? Yeah, this is this whole outburst of prayer for the election. It seems like we really are lighting fires right now for people, knowing that this is such a serious election that could really set the tone for the country, for our grandchildren and then their grandchildren's children, because this is a serious time that we're living in. Brother Jess, before we go to the gospel, I just want to let people know that great debate we had with Jess Romero's presentation on how apologetics brought him back to the Catholic faith went over extremely well. I had lots of good comments. Wanted you to know that matching funds were donated. We still have $300 to donate. It would become $600. So if you want to match those $300 with a donation, so your $25 check will now be $50. Just call 877-526-2151 or go online to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. But right now, my favorite part of the show, Jesse, is when we say soul food, because it's the gospel, brother. So let's go with the exaltation of the cross is gospel.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. John chapter 3.
Yep.
Verses 13 to 17, the Holy Gospel according to John. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And by the way, that's just, he has a good apologetics bullet here. Muslims claim that Muhammad was transported from Jerusalem to heaven and back. Lies, lies, and darn lies. Because the Bible says no one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, Jesus. Okay? It says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's a reference to the Holy Cross of Christ, as you'll see right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that so everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to focus on verse 14 and verse 16, where it talks about the serpent. John is referencing an episode that happened in the book of Numbers. Chapter 21, excuse me, where Moses hoisted this bronze serpent, it was a statue, upon a pole as a remedy for faithless Israel, because God had sent poisonous snakes, and by the way, that's a type of demon, actually. Mm-hmm. Serpents are called demons, so that's kind of a metaphor for a diabolical affliction. So God sent these poisonous serpents, but he promised to save the ones and heal the ones that looked at the bronze serpent in search of God's mercy. It wasn't so much the bronze serpent. It was they were looking as an act of faith to the mercy of God. And so Jesus sees this relic in today's gospel as an image of his own crucifixion and the healing that his crucifixion, the cross, will bring to a rebellious world when he says, when I be lifted up. So when Jesus is lifted up, he's referencing to him be lifted up on the cross of Calvary, but he's also referencing when he's lifted up from the grave and into heaven. And also verse 16, where it talks about he gave his only begotten son. The earthly mission of our Lord Jesus Christ is part of God the Father's plan, and God's, the Trinity's love was displayed by the sacrifice of the second person of the Trinity who became man. And so this verse, it marks a transition from the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus to this extended dialogue by either Jesus or John himself, where he's talking now about eternal life. And the expression of eternal life here, it refers both to the divine quality of the new life in Christ, as well as its duration. It's going to last forever. It's unending. And how do we receive this gift on earth? We receive this gift on earth through the cross of Christ, through the exaltation of the cross of Christ, and by receiving the fruits of the cross of Christ, which are the Holy Eucharist. And this is the hope that we have, Terry. And if we possess it, we will irrevocably participate in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I always like to say, we adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee. Because of thy holy cross, thou hast redeemed the world. Jesse, I got to tell you, brother, tonight we've got the work of the Holy Angels coming into the chapel for three straight nights at 7 p.m.
Wow.
Actually, confessions at 5:30, Mass at 6:30. I want to encourage all the people in Southern California to come on down. It'll be great. Also, the Spiritual Warfare Conference is coming up on the 16th of January. That's not too long away from now. And we're going to have to do it online because of the COVID thing. But that's coming up, so check that out. Also, Jess, good news. And I think it has something to do with you, brother. Jesse's going to say blush when I tell him this. But last week, Jesse was on Father Frank Pavone's show talking on pro-life work and the election. And we got 1,000 new YouTube subscribers, okay?
God.
This week, Jesse, I don't know what you where you were, but we got 1,440 people this week. New people who subscribe. So, Jesse, when you tell the people to subscribe, they're doing it, bro.
Praise
so,
God.
Yeah, so
and
more.
Yeah, that's some great news. That's exactly what we want to do. Is
yep.
All we're trying to do is just trying to get more people to listen to the message so we have more ambassadors out there, become our foot soldiers, and go and promote what... Share what we teach
absolutely.
On Virgin Most Powerful with other low-information Catholics.
You got it. And let's bring Fulton Sheen and talk about high information. Let's bring him in on that choo-choo, on that, no, locomotive train. Woo! Full Sheen ahead. Jess, this is, I've been repeating this one because we're in a battle right now. Everybody knows there's a spiritual warfare battle going on for souls and for this country. Here's what Bishop Sheen said. Are you ready? 70 years ago. See if this doesn't fit for what we're talking about today. The refusal to take sides on a great moral issue, abortion, is in itself a decision. I put abortion in. Yeah. It is a silent acquiescence to what? Evil. The tragedy of our times is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passion and conviction. Just that just fits us 70 years later to the T. Because how many people I talk to say, oh, I don't want to get involved. Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
What happened? What's that statement, Jesse, that you always quote from the Auschwitz and from the concentration camps when they asked them, why didn't you complain about they were killing all these people? Well, first they came for the Jews. Then they came for the Catholics. Then they came for this group. And by the time they came for me, there was no one to speak up for me. Remember
that's
that?
Right. That's exactly what's happening right now.
That's my point.
And that's why people of goodwill, yep. And that's the term that we're, you know,
yeah.
That's what binds us together. I've been giving talks at Mormon places. I've been going to a lot of secular clubs.
Sure.
I've been going to Protestant denominations out here and giving talks
good.
On how to form your conscience to vote properly as a person, as an American who promotes the common good.
Yep.
But I'm basically, Terry, just giving Catholicism tucked in with the language of natural law.
Of
That's
course.
All I'm doing.
Hey, Jesse, you got
and
a PhD.
And of course, I have a big crucifix around my neck.
I hope so.
And I make the sign of the cross when I start. I say, I'm Roman Catholic Christian, so I'm going to pray before I give this presentation. They're like, well, this guy's bold.
He's serious.
Yeah, I said, yeah, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to, I can't share a lot with you. Then that's why you'd have invited me here, because we have a lot in common. So I get it. So, yeah. Terry, as a matter of fact, this is exactly what we want to do at Virgin Most Powerful.
We want to replicate ourselves.
We want to make ambassadors out there, not for Terry and Jesse, but for Christ.
And we also want to give people the courage to stand up. You know, so many times, Jesse, people don't know that I'm 5'5", about 140 pounds. I'm a little guy. And they hear me on the radio and they go, man, that guy must be some young dude. Man, I'm 63 years old. I'm a bald-headed old little old man. But can I tell you, when it comes to the faith, Jess, I'll go.
You're like a lion, Terry.
I'll go toe to toe, man. You know why? Because I love Jesus and his bride, the church. And I want to encourage you to stand up, because this is the time when Catholics need to stand up more than ever. Jesse, where were you last weekend? Tell us before we got the break. I want to know where you were.
Oh, this week I was at Mater Dei in Irving, Texas.
Good.
In fact, I was at Taylor Marshall's parish.
I was at. That's great.
Yeah. Great parish. And I was giving a spiritual warfare conference. And Terry, do you want to mention a little bit about the exaltation of the cross?
Yeah, please do.
The Pope. It's a reflection from Pope Leo the Great. And I think we got about 30 seconds, so maybe I'll just save it for the next
one. Save it for the next. But let me just mention to the people again, the apologetic debate that went on over the weekend, Jess, excellent response from the people. Like I said, we still have some matching funds. That means if you make a donation.
Did you have a good number of listeners?
Oh, yeah. It went over well, Jesse.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus. If you want to make a donation and your donation will be doubled up to $300, call us at 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Hey, when we come back, we'll have more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out his will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
When I hear the term lockdown, it reminds me of the many years I worked at the Los Angeles County Jail, which was the largest jail in the world, because we would use that phrase. Yep. I mean, the sirens would go off inside the jail. The PA system would go loud, and we would say, lock it down, confine the prisoners, lock it down. When there was an escape or there was a riot and we're trying to regain control of the jail system, the way you have you restrict the flow of movement, you have to lock everybody down. You got to secure everybody in their jail cells.
Yeah.
And so I'm used to that term, but now we're hearing this term being used in a free society. I haven't committed any crime, neither has Terry, neither has most of us. Now this term, lock it down, is being used by politicians to basically shut down our society. And I'm glad that Dennis Prager and many others, especially, they live in California, so they have a dog in the fight like you do,
kidding.
Terry. But Prager says that the COVID lockdowns are no longer a mistake, but a crime.
Yeah, explain, why is it a crime?
Prager is a Jewish conservative commentator. I would consider him definitely an ally in the culture wars.
And he respects us as Catholics big time.
Absolutely. He sure does. He said that he wrote a syndicated column that the COVID-19 lockdowns imposed upon the U.S. for almost 6 months now. Mm-hmm. They're no longer just a mistake. He says the lockdown's a crime. But even more upsetting is that it's being supported by so many Americans, so many what I call Karens and Kevins, that yell at you when you're in public and say, put on that mask, put on that, you're killing me. And so this country is unrecognizable to those of us who lived through the 1968 and 1978 pandemic, which killed, according to the Center for Disease Control, about 100,000 Americans.
Yep, it was 68 to 70, Jess, not 68 to 88. Yeah, okay. 2 years.
And so the 2000, it would be the 2020 equivalent of about 170,000 Americans. And guess what? Nothing got shut
nope.
down, and no masks were worn from 68 to 70 during this.
That's right.
By the way, pandemic means worldwide. Epidemic means like localized, and epidemic is also a synonym for outbreak.
Got it.
So Prager, he's contrasted the approach to the coronavirus taken in Sweden.
Yep.
They adopted over there, which by the way, which should be adopted in California, he argues. He says that if everybody followed the Scandinavian country example, he says that country never locked down.
Nope.
And has even kept children under 16 in school the entire time. And as regards to teachers, Sweden's public health agency reported that a comparison of the incidence of COVID-19, Wuhan-19, in different professions suggested no increased risk for teachers. But in contrast, the schools in California are still, for the most part, either exclusively teaching online or making use of smaller classes, with some of the students going to school and others staying home on a rotating basis. Terry, sheer confusion for the parents.
But Jesse, the best part about this, this exposes this, is that the teachers in Los Angeles, and one of our listeners, a monthly donor, is the teacher. He said this to me already. I knew this, that the teachers in Los Angeles and other parts of the Golden State, Prager wrote, refuse to enter a classroom that has students in it. Their disdain for their profession has been superseded only by that of the Los Angeles Teachers Union. Ready for this, everybody? Which announced that teachers will not resume teaching until the police are defunded. One more point. That point right there really gets me upset because I'm here in California. But apart from schools, Jesse, for about a month, Sweden has reported almost no deaths from COVID-19. While the entire society remains open and almost no one wears masks, for all intent purposes, the virus is over in Sweden. And Jesse, their economy is doing fine. People aren't out of work. The collateral damage never hit them because they didn't let it hit them, unlike us. Continue.
Meanwhile, in California, which is governed by Comrade Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, who's
recall
by the way,
him.
He's part of the Democrat Party.
Yep.
Prager calls, he says that most that most dangerous of leaders, a fool with unlimited power.
Oh my God.
What a description of him.
Yep.
Prager also says that Governor Comrade Newsom has destroyed and continues to destroy tens of thousands of small businesses and untold numbers of livelihoods. Terry, here's my theory.
Yeah, what is
why
it?
The
yeah.
left?
Because I have mine.
Why the left is going after small businesses?
Yeah.
Why? And these blue states and these blue city politicians. Why? I'll tell you why. Notice this whole Wuhan virus doesn't affect, you know, the big guys like Google, Yahoo, you know, Facebook. It doesn't. The big guys. This doesn't affect them one bit. It was the little small businessmen, Terry, that 4 years ago were fed up with politicians being bought by people. And it was small businesses that got behind a person called Donald Trump that nobody ever expected to be president of this country. And so right now, the left, they're saying, okay, you guys put him in office. We're going to hurt you. This is payback time, small businesses, because the big businesses that fund the left, they're untouched, Terry.
That's right.
They're unscathed. They're making money hand over fist, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, et cetera, Instagram. It's the small businessman that put this non-politician into the White House, and they're going after them with a vengeance and hitting them financially in the pocketbook as revenge for putting Trump in office.
It really
that's
does.
My, well, Terry, that's my assessment.
Jesse, I'm going to add to that assessment that I think you missed. Okay, here's what you missed on that. That when small businesses aren't doing well, they have to turn to the big government to get out and pay their bills. And this is another way of converting them to become a big government person rather than subsidiarity that says small businesses are good for the economy. And so this is a payback time. I agree with that. But that other element that says, hey, we got to get rid of the small businessman. They're independent thinkers, Jesse. Most business people are independent. They don't go along with they have PhDs in common sense, which common sense ain't that common. Please. Oh, Jesse, before you continue, we just got a tweet here from a person about your pastor who we had on last Friday, Father Gautron. He put out a tweet saying, we are not buffet Catholics. It's pretty much what St. John Paul II said in 1979 out in your former valley, in the
San Fernando Valley.
And basically, Father's just saying that we don't pick and choose. We have to take the whole banana. So I would just say that's consistent with Father. He's been doing that ever since he's been ordained, that as far as I know, Jess.
Oh, yeah.
He's just telling people this is not, you know, suggestions. These are Ten Commandments, not suggestions. So that's my comment.
He's a straight shooter, Terry.
Yeah.
He's a blessing to be out there in the San Gabriel.
Hey, Jesse, he also, and let's get back to this Dennis Prager. He said he also called out politicians for their arbitrary standards to stop the spread of the virus. What does he mean by that? What he means is...
Well, he gives an example.
Yes, says, well, go ahead and give it, because it's
why
a good example.
Why can people eat with no mask in an airplane inches, not 6 feet from strangers, but cannot eat in a California restaurant, which is
good
so much bigger than the inside of an airplane, while sitting 6 feet from the others? Why, he asked, because Newsom ordered it, and the Los Angeles Times supports it, and like sheep, Californians have accepted it. And Prager also quotes a Swedish doctor, Dr. Rushworth, who explained that the people in this country have by now returned to a normal life.
Yeah.
Countries that impose far-reaching lockdowns on their citizens acted unreasonably. And the doctor says, shutting down completely in order to decrease the total number of deaths only makes sense if you're willing to stay shut down until a vaccine is available, Dr. Rushworth said. That could take years. No country is willing to wait that long. And Prager has maintains that the coronavirus lockdowns may have been an enormous mistake, possibly the worst mistake the world has ever made. Close quote, not going so far as to call them a crime. Yep. Terry?
Let me just throw one more thing in that the herd immunity approach, it just makes so much sense to me. If you think about not allowing you to get germs into your system, you're going to weaken your immune system. I mean, we're going to pay a big price for making people live in a bubble, because when life doesn't live in a bubble, you're going to come out and you're going to be getting sick from all kinds of things. So I think Sweden did a great job of the herd immunity program where people just dealt with it like we have for thousands of years. Jesse, the lockdown, he says, is possibly even more catastrophic than the virus. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. In the outcome, the collapse of global food supply systems. Like we said earlier, 10,000 kids die of starvation every single day because of the food supply being taken out. So widespread starvation. Yes, Prager said this, that was published in a left-wing The Nation, which nevertheless enthusiastically supports the lockdown. So in other words, they're saying, yeah, we acknowledge that we're killing these kids, but you know what, Jess? They're poor.
We're
anyway.
Still support it.
Yeah, but we have to cut down the numbers anyway. So he accused the elites, and I accuse them too, Jesse, not simply the left of being deceitful. I love this. Cowardly and immature. Prager, you know, Jesse, I love what he started. We've been promoting it too here. In 2009, he founded the PragerU, an educational video outlet with conservative viewpoints, and YouTube has in recent years limited access to his videos posted on Google-owned platform. Wonder why, Jess? What's your thought on that?
Well, because all social media is owned by the left, all of it. And so Prager is not a leftist. He tries to put out what Americans have believed, basically using natural law, the common good, his Jewish background, and that's just not allowed. They're trying to censor him, and he's been fighting. He's filed several lawsuits on both state and federal levels and against Google. Mm-hmm. And the superior courts have argued that Google was continuing. Well, the complaint from Prager is that Google continues to unlawfully restrict and restrain speech and expression on that social media platform known as YouTube as well. And unfortunately, Terry, this is why I'm so glad that President Trump keeps putting more judges that are just
so
basically normal, strict constructionist and originalist judges, because Prager hasn't had a very successful time in his lawsuits. They've basically dismissed his lawsuits by all the courts in California. So Prager is still fighting right now to try to keep some type of voice out in the social media platform, because, again, he doesn't sing the same tune as the left.
Well, let's be honest, Jesse, about the situation. They want the Constitution to be rewritten. Really, Jesse, that's pretty much what the left wants. They don't like what the Constitution says, and so they're trying to put a situation together where we can start over and scratch, which I think is a big, big mistake. Jesse, when we come back, I really want, this is something that priests are actually coming out stronger and stronger. There's priests all over the country who are denouncing former Vice President Biden. And this program that says Catholics for Biden, they're coming back and saying some things that are like really crazy. But I want to hear this, and we're going to evaluate just the facts. Then you make the decision. But I happen to believe with these priests, I guess they're just feeling like they can't stay quiet any longer. They have to speak out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sign of a good shepherd, and that's my take. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're not right versus left. We're right versus wrong, and it's wrong to kill unborn babies. Last time I looked. We'll be right back with more to inspire you. Fall love in Jesus Christ. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Amen.
Pro-life priest are denouncing this fake organization, fake Catholics, Terry. They're called Catholics for Biden. It's a scam.
Only in name.
Yeah, and the whole idea of Catholics for Biden, Terry, this is an oxymoron. It's a scam. So this group that was created to generate this grassroots Catholic support for pro-abortion, I've married two homosexuals, Joe Biden in the White House, it was launched last Thursday night with a virtual national Zoom meeting. They attracted about 1,100 participants. And Catholics who tuned into the online meeting were repeatedly steered away from being, quote, single-issue voters as a means to help them overcome qualms of conscience regarding the former VP and his running mate, Kamala Harris, who also has performed a homosexual marriage, by the way, because they've both pledged unwavering support for maintaining a legal right to abortion across the United States. And I'll tell you why this is dangerous, Terry. Both of these politicians that are just rabidly pro-homosexual marriage.
Right.
When you look at Black Lives Matter, their statement, that's precisely what they want to do. They want to overthrow the patriarchal family.
Right.
And the three people that started Black Lives Matter, the three females, are avowed lesbians. And so here's the problem. When you have moral internal confusion like these three women had that started Black Lives Matter, that internal moral confusion, it projects to the rest of your life. You're going to have external moral confusion, and you're going to try to propose it to other people around you. That's the danger.
Of course.
So yeah, this 58-minute long meeting with a keynote, a short keynote speech by dissident habitless nun Sister Simone Campbell, who's the executive director of the Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice, and she's known for her support for legal abortion. And you also had U.S. Senator Richard Durbin from Illinois, who's been barred by Bishop Thomas Peprocki from receiving Holy Communion.
That's right.
He also gave a short speech. And by the way, if you don't know who Sister Simone is, she's the famous liberal nun who's called the Nuns on a Bus. And she's the one that basically travels around the country without her habit, and nobody has a habit in her order. And they're the ones that claim that the outline of abortion by reversing Roe versus Wade has never been part of the Catholic faith. And she's also dismissed Orthodox Catholics as silly. Terry, you want to pick it up?
Yeah, Jesse, I just want to say this, that what really is interesting, only 1,100 people participated in this event on Zoom.
And it was national.
Yeah, and it was a national thing. We had 1,400, just us little Virgin Most Powerful picked up 1,400 people over the weekend for our YouTube channel. So, I mean, I don't want to make this small, but I mean, I think it was pretty devastating, I would think, Jesse, to have only 1,100 people show up for this meeting. But here's the thing that's really interesting. This Dr. Stephen Shenek, the retired director for the Institute for Policy and Research and Catholic Studies at Catholic University of America, and I might add a former Obama White House appointee, here's what he said, which he says in this four-hour deal, in the 4 years of President Trump, he says, proven to be the least pro-life president in history. Really? He also says he's proven that he's only capable of dividing us, this man says. President Trump fosters hate and intolerance. You know what, Jesse, I noticed about all these critics of President Trump? They say that about committed Christians. Every one of those statements, they say that about you or me.
They say that about you and me.
I've had that said all the time. So I think that it's actually interesting.
As soon as you got a moral compass that's...
You're a hater.
That's directed towards the North Star, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Right away they say, you're a hater. So, yeah, we've heard these words before, Terry.
Lots of times.
Yeah, and Terry...
Continue.
Also, regarding this organization, it says that during a five-person panel discussion, the moderator, Feliz Gorordo, noted that a high percentage of panelists, including himself, had been influenced by a...
no surprise.
Jesuit education and formation.
Unbelievable.
The panelist, Peter Kellner, mentioned that he'd recently become a member of the board of directors of the Jesuit-run America Media, publisher of America Magazine, where pro-LGBT Father James Martin is the editor-at-large. And here's the good news, Terry. There's a lot of top pro-life priests that have had plenty to say about Catholics for Biden's effort.
Yes.
For example, this one priest, and they're exposing these wolves in sheep's clothing, a lot of these priests.
Yep.
Father Michael Orsi, he's a priest of the Diocese of Camden, New Jersey, but right now he's in Naples, Florida. He's a parochial vicar out there. And he's also a former chaplain of Ave Maria Law School in Naples, Florida. He said, quote, "The whole idea of Catholics for voting for Biden is a scam."
That says it all.
That's right. And he says that the group seeks, Father Orsi says, to gloss over his hostility to the Catholic teaching condemning abortion. And Father Orsi says that this group, Catholics for Biden, it grasps onto the seamless garment canard and encourages voters to weigh all of the perceived good things that the Democrats promote for social justice. The fact is that all these entitlements presume inequality in the issues. Unless a person has the right to life, all else is meaningless. Yeah, Terry, the Catholics for Biden, what they're doing, they're trying to hide behind
the seamless
garment document.
And explain what that is to our listeners.
And by the way, Terry, I have to give credit to your bishop, Bishop Gomez.
Oh yeah, he
wrote a thunderous.
He did.
A thunderous denouncement of the seamless garment doctrine not too long ago.
No, I know. I remember it.
Yeah, he says as a Catholic, we can't hold it. Here's what it is, sir. They blur the lines.
Yes.
The seamless garment document puts non-negotiable issues like abortion and euthanasia and homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
They put them equal with policy issues. Policy issues like, well, what are we going to do with, Social Security? What are we going to do with Medicare? Those are policy issues. Those are secondary issues that Catholics could have disagreements with, but they make them equal, and they're not equal, Terry. Having a discussion over killing a baby is not the same as talking about should we have, Social Security for everybody till they're 65. That's not the same. They're not equivalent in terms of intrinsically evil things. And this was introduced, Terry, by Cardinal Joseph Bernardine. He's the inventor of the seamless garment doctrine, and now we're paying the price for it, Terry.
And let me give you the genesis of that, Jesse. I was recording Cardinal Connor, the former Cardinal of New York, at a priest retreat, and he told us the genesis of Bernardine's program on the seamless garment. He called Cardinal O'Connell and Cardinal O'Connor and said, "Hey, I'm coming out with this new document in the newspaper about the seamless garment. I need you to support it." And Cardinal O'Connor said, "What? No way. I'm not going to support that. That doesn't give what the church teaches." Now, this is all me recording. And then he looks over and says, "Hey, is that recorder on right now?" I guess he was a little afraid that I was going to play that on the radio, I guess. But no. But the point I'm saying is he stood up, and this has been battled for a long time. St. John Paul II made it clear also, Jesse, you quote that document all the time, that it's the preeminent issue of the day. The bishops quoted that. So we, you know, this whole baloney about abortion is just one of the issues. You know what, Jess? Think about this. If you were coming in and saying, you know what, I support terrorism, as Father Frank Provone always used to say. Are you going to be a one? Are you kidding me? You're not going to vote for that dude. He's going to support terrorism. There's certain things you can't support, and that's one of them. When people try to commit a mistake and say that abortion is just one of many, and this is what they're trying to do. But Father, I have to say, he knew it when he said the group is just another wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. You also have other priests speaking out against it, like Father Stephen Imbarato.
Yep.
He's also an activist, pro-life priest.
Right.
He's Father Imbarato. He's said that Biden's actions result in multiple grave scandals against our Catholic faith.
Right.
He says, here's the half a dozen ways that Biden violates his Catholic faith. He says, number one, Biden supports abortion.
That's number one.
Check that one off. Wrong. Yep. He supports contraception.
Wrong.
Check that one off. Wrong. Supports immoral experimentation. Check that one off. You know, that's like embryonic fetal stem cell research and sex reassignment surgery.
Yep.
Number four, he supports sexual disorders and perversions by promoting the LGBTQ agenda, and he's presided over at least two same-sex marriage weddings. Check that one off. He's wrong. He supports an environmental policy that includes population control measures. Check that one off. He's wrong. He opposes freedom of conscience and religion, as evidenced in his pledge to force the Little Sisters of the Poor to provide abortifacients to employees. Check that one off. He's wrong. And Biden also fails to defend our Catholic faith, remaining quiet while left-wing organizations have attacked Catholic churches and property, and he's quiet. Again, Catholics who talk about single-issue Catholic voting, Father Frank Pavone, another incredible priest, he says, they're setting up a straw man.
That's right.
He says, because we all know there are many issues, but if a candidate came along and said, I support terrorism or I support slavery, you know, but your health care plan is great. Guess what? Most Americans say, oh, you support terrorism, but you got a great health care plan, or you support slavery, but you got a great health care plan. Guess what? You're disqualified from getting my vote. Terry, some issues are so evil that we become what's called a disqualifying issue voter. And the U.S. bishops have even been very clear about the issue of abortion. The USCCB, in their document called Living the Gospel of Life, look at what it says here.
Yep.
It says, quote, we call on them, and they're speaking about lay Catholics, politicians, and non-politicians, we call on them to reflect on the grave contradiction of assuming public roles, politicians, and presenting themselves as credible Catholics, like Joe Biden, when their actions on fundamental issues of human life, abortion, are not in agreement with the church teaching. You can't get any clearer than that, Terry.
And Bishop Strickland said the only worry of an unborn child is no worries about food or clothing or housing or rights of opportunity or the environment or freedom of education. Simply, will I live? If we end their life through abortion, all the other issues become meaningless. They're all dead. We'll be back with more on the nationwide novena of 5,400 masses for the election.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're just not pro-life, we're pro-eternal life to co-sister Dee Dee.
Yeah, she's great.
And there's some serious prayer power being...
on both sides, Jesse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, the witches are up their game, the Satanists are bumping, the occultists are bumping up their game.
Yep.
And our side, we're bumping up our game.
That's right.
You know what prayer is? Think about this. Just think about like a 21-gun salute when they're burying a soldier and stuff that served his country and at the funeral.
Right.
And as they fire off shots into the cosmos, into the air, that's what we're doing with prayer. Both sides are firing shots into the air, Terry, because in the air, that's where angels and demons reside.
Yep.
But our side, Terry, we've got bigger ammunition because we have the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Nothing greater.
And in fact, there's a nationwide novena.
Yep.
Of 5,400 holy masses for President Trump, for a Protestant president. Can you get that, Terry? That's how much he's excited, Catholics, Terry, because we know that he's defending us.
Yep.
And I don't think Catholics have ever felt as defended in our life by the person in the White House as we do right now.
Because it hasn't happened before.
That's why. There's a Catholic group that's rallying the faithful to join the ranks in a campaign that seeks to celebrate 5,400 holy masses by election day, because we want to empower the president through mass, the graces of the masses, in divinely inspired ways. And the chief organizer, his name is Richard Moynihan. He says that the nationwide novena of 5,400 masses for President Trump, he said it came to him during prayer as he considered the magnitude of this 2020 election. He says there's a lot at stake in the election: religious liberty, rights of the unborn, the tyranny of communism, Supreme Court justices, federal judgeships, defund the police. So Richard Moynihan, a faithful Catholic, he believes that the multitude of masses will empower the president and the country to push back in divinely inspired ways. And he's absolutely right, because what we're doing is we're fighting back using sanctifying grace, projecting it into the cosmos and into the battle. Terry?
And Jesse, the reason we need to do this now especially is because 6 months ago, we got our wings clipped. You know what I mean by that? In other words, the churches were closed, very few masses. Now, some of the masses were still going on. I'm not going to say the priests weren't saying them, but not as many as they were. But people who were not able to participate at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, their prayers were not there, visits to the Blessed Sacrament cut down. So this is really a spiritual war right now that we're up against. And you know, when I think about it, Jess, I think about the bad guys on the other side. We're giving you the facts as Catholics. We need to pray for our leaders. Our Bible says that we need to do that.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1.
Exactly. And also, Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. I would even suggest that fasting is the only thing that gets evil out. I mean, now, not the only thing, but the Bible makes it clear that it's a very effective way to get rid of evil. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. It says prayer. Jesus, our Lord, says prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting.
Prayer is, think about this. Prayer is actually called the sword of the spirit, okay? Yeah. So think about a sword in, you know, ancient Rome, a Roman soldier or a Spartan. You got a sword.
Okay.
Okay, how do you make your swords sharper? Well, the monastics, the desert fathers tell us that you make your prayers sharper through fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So think about a sword. You get a file and you want to file your sword for battle and to make it sharper. How do you make your swords sharper? Fasting. That's the interrelationship between prayer and fasting. It's the relationship between a sword used by a soldier in ancient Rome or the Spartans and the file that polishes and gives that sword its edge.
And Jesse, this is bringing back a great Catholic tradition of having masses offered for the deceased, you know, the Gregorian masses. And for a long time after the Second Vatican Council, and it wasn't because of the council, it was because of how it was implemented, people were not as apt to having masses offered for the dead, for the living. And I think right now, this is kind of like, this is our tsunami coming up, and we're waking up and saying, wait a minute, we recognize the divine power of Holy Mass, and it's freely at our disposal. Let's get more masses offered up to make this novena successful. Our country needs it. I want to commend him and others who are having these masses offered.
Yeah, and then we have, I think, something else that's attaching itself to this powerful movement amongst lay Catholics. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lay Catholic movement, Terry.
Oh, big, that's really, that's what Sheen said would save the church, man.
Yeah, it's a lay Catholic movement, and that's fine. It's fine. As lay Catholics, we're called to sanctify the temporal order.
That's right.
We want to sanctify it with the graces of the Mass.
Amen.
We want to do. But there's also another order that goes hand in hand with this.
Yes.
There's also a 54-day rosary crusade, which started already.
That's right.
For the United States, for our president, and for his victory. And the Holy Rosary, outside of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it's the most powerful weapon against the enemy of God and man. And it's funny, Terry, I put a tweet last week. I said, prayer is a weapon. And so I said, let's pray for the president, our nation, and our church. Yeah. So a liberal priest, I won't mention his name, tweets back.
God love him.
And he says, Jesse Romero doesn't know what he's talking about. What do you mean prayer's a weapon? Prayer's not a weapon. Where did he get this from? Prayer is simply love. That's what he said.
Oh, I guess he was in the.
So then I said, okay, I guess I don't want to engage with somebody that's a priest, but yeah, I have to correct them. So he tried to correct me publicly. So I said, Father, so you said prayer's not a weapon. Okay. I said, well, let me quote to you St. Padre Pio. He says, love the Madonna and pray the rosary. The rosary is the weapon against all the evils of the world today. Let me quote to you the Blessed Mother, Father. He told St. Dominic, he says, the rosary is warfare. Yeah. It's the battering ram. It's always been the angelic psalter, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament. I said, Father, maybe I can quote to you St. Alphonsus of Liguori.
Doctor of the
He
Church.
Says, prayer, without a doubt, is the most powerful weapon the Lord gave us to conquer evil. And so, Terry, I just inundated him with quotes from doctors. He didn't respond back. This was on Twitter. So he didn't respond back.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
I mean, how are you going to respond when what you said as a liberal contradicts St. Padre Pio, St. Alphonsus of Liguori, and the Blessed Mother to St. Dominic herself? So the debate was over once I responded.
And Jesse, I pray for that priest because he probably was formed right after the council. He's probably my age and just says, we need love like the 1960s, just love, love, love.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand the full gospel. And I'm just... And out of charity, Jesse, you're not condemning him. You know what you're doing?
No.
You're being what we call clarity with charity. You're correcting him in a very charitable way to say,
it's
Father.
It's fraternal charity.
Exactly.
It's in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 18.
And can I tell you something, Jesse? You wouldn't love me if I said something incorrect on the air and you didn't correct me. You know what I'd say? Hey, Romero, I thought you said you loved me as your brother in Christ. Why didn't you correct me? And I mean, just that's how it works. So don't feel like we're picking on anybody.
Yeah, he spoke material heresy. Yeah,
material that he doesn't know. Right? Material means
no.
Not. Yeah, material heresy for those who are being splitting wings here. Material means that he doesn't understand the faith well enough, so he's articulating something with error, but not realizing it. And let me just throw one more thing in, Jess, just because I think it's important. We didn't say on the abortion issue. I want to make it clear, Jesse, and if I'm wrong, correct me. If someone goes in and votes for a candidate who who's going to promote abortion, you're going to be participating in that sin. Now, If you know that that is happening with full knowledge, you pull the lever for picking that person. And I know people get mad when I say this, but you're committing a mortal sin. Why? Because you have serious matter, full consent of the will. You know that it's what you're doing. Now, for those who don't know better, okay, they're not going to be held to that accountability of someone who knows better. And that's why out of charity, Jesse, we keep hitting on abortion, because there are still many people I talk to who say, but he does, this guy does X, Y, or Z, but he's for, yeah, he is, I'm against abortion. So, time out. I want you to know something very clearly, Jesse, what I'm telling people, that they're endangering their salvation of their soul if they go unrepentant, never get to confession, and never repent of voting for a candidate who's for abortion, knowing that it's serious matter. Am I right or wrong on that, Jess?
Well, I'll tell you why you're right, because that's what the Catechism says.
You got it.
1868.
Yep.
It says, for example, if I know
yep.
that one of the candidates is for killing babies.
That's right.
And legislates for the legalization of killing babies
yep.
in their mother's womb all 9 months.
Yep.
And I know that, and I vote for him. The Catechism says, I've now participated in a sin.
Right.
That's paragraph 1868.
Yep.
I've participated directly and cooperated in this man's sin because I voted for him. So by voting for him, I didn't try to stop him, because the Catechism says we have an obligation to hinder. That means stop. We have an obligation to by not disclosing, we got to speak out against it. This is what me and Terry do Monday through Friday.
Yep.
We have an obligation to disclose and not protect evildoers and evil actions.
Yep.
We have to disclose it. And by participating directly, by casting a vote, you have now participated in that person's mortal sin. And if you don't repent before you die, and you die with that mortal sin in your soul,
that's what I'm
saying. You will go to hell.
Right, nurse. And you know what, Jesse? That what you just said, you backed me up on the Catechism. But I want to say that we're not telling people names of who to vote for. No, we're telling you, you have to vote with your Catholic moral conscience. And if we don't vote that way, I mean, I'll just give you an example. Back in 2008, Catholics voted for a president who said, I'm for abortion all 9 months. And I hope those people who voted for him went to confession, because if they knew that was a serious issue and that was killing unborn babies and still pulled the trigger for that, that's sinful, serious sin. So, out of charity, we're telling people that, not because we're sticking our chest out and saying, hey, look at me. No, we love those folks who are miss low information Catholics and miss low information people. You need to know the facts, but your value in saying yes to God is that you have freedom to say no. So I don't doubt that you have the freedom to pick anybody you want. Sure, you have that freedom. But you know what they sing in hell? I did it my way. You know what they sing in heaven? I did it his way. Jesse, well, I hear the bumper music. Go
ahead. What you just said right now, Terry, is basically the buzzword of Satanism.
Yeah.
It's do what you will. Mm-hmm. That is the whole of the law.
Yeah.
That's the common verse in the Satanic Bible. Do what you will. Mm-hmm. That is the whole of the law. That's Satanism.
Well, Jesse, Terry. I got one question to ask you, because we only count one thing ultimately. Life is short. Eternity is forever. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not in the state of despair, not in the state of hopelessness, not in the state of confusion, not in the state of mortal sin, and not in any of the 50 states necessarily, in the state of grace. Get holy or die trying. And as Catholics, by the time the game is over and your life is over, make sure you can tell the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You can tell him, Lord, I left it all out in the field.
Up next, Dr. Ed Mazza, the bar of history. You know what? If you don't live by history, you'll fall again. Here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, may God richly bless you and full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.